Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
And my name is Peter.
Hello Peter.
Hello Ben.
How are you this week?
Same as always. The time has stood still in the world of lockdown, I would say.
It's been 1 month.
Since you looked at me.
Yeah. Well, pretty much literally as well.
Yeah, actually has. Yeah.
It's been a month since you looked at me. Very quickly, where are we hiking today in the video version of this podcast?
Well remembered.
I remembered.
How about maybe across like the Martian landscape?
Ooh, on Mars planet.
On the planet Mars, yeah.
It's pretty rude to Earth considering it was Earth Day this week. But well, you know what? Earth needs to buck its ideas up, doesn't it?
Yeah, when's International Men's Day? Am I right? When's International Mars Day?
I don't know. It's about time, though, right? We Martians have had it too hard for too long.
We have, yeah.
Dreadful. Yeah.
A lot of people say it's International Mars Day 365 days of the year, but I wouldn't say so.
I want a day. Where are my balloons, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not here.
No.
That's for sure. Hey, welcome along, everyone. Hope you're doing okay at home and staying safe and playing those video games. Or if you're out in the field doing your essential job, I hope you're safe there too. Thank you for doing what you do. Before we go any further, did you know that this podcast is actually sponsored by a real sponsor every single week? Every single weekly episode, there's a brand new sponsor. There's something to be said for us not being able to hold down a sponsor. But I think that's just shifting the focus away from how amazing we are. And that actually, companies get so much exposure when they advertise with us, they don't need to do any more advertising ever again.
Well, yeah, I like to think of it as we're giving everyone a chance to mm-hmm. be a sponsor on our show. You know, it's not that people rapidly want to move away from being our sponsor almost immediately. We're just very inclusive. Today's sponsor, Ben, there's a brand new children's book coming out based on a 2020 Microsoft video game.
Okay.
Would you like to hear all about it?
Yeah.
It's about a little character, little boy called Ori, who's got a Wilson. He's got a Wilson. Ori has a Wilson in this book, and it's quite a hairy Wilson.
Right.
But it's sort of long, thin strands of hair. It's not a great big bushy beard.
Is this a sex ed book?
This is a sex ed book. It's about, you know, when changes are happening to your body.
Yes.
You know, Ori will guide you through those changes because it's a confusing time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
So you heard it here first. Coming soon to the nations of the world.
Can we have a better choice of words there, please?
Sorry, arriving soon to the nations of the world, Ori and the Willy of Wisps.
Okay. Who's the author?
I think Ori. I think it's autobiographical.
Okay, not Philip K. Dick.
No, definitely not.
Okay. So do we have an RRP?
It's like £93.95.
See, that's quite expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think once they've got the exposure from, again, not a good choice of words, once they've got some publicity from being on this podcast, the prices might come down a bit.
That's true. Next question. Is it scratch and sniff?
I certainly hope it isn't. I think it might be where the cost is. Might be one of those pop-out books where you turn the page and something just smacks you right in the face.
Or one of those, you know, fuzzy books that where you can stroke the cow and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, the willy wisps. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
brilliant. I'm sure Xbox is thrilled by this partnership.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what else it is, though, as well as scratch and sniff, pop-out and fuzzy.
Yeah.
Fake!
No!
Yeah, it's fake.
Get off it. Did you just lie to me?
I just lied to you. It's a lie.
That is outrageous behaviour. My goodness. My goodness me. Well,
thank God it's a lie.
It's not real, unsurprisingly. I mean, who knows in this world? It probably there are probably worse sex ed books, worse pitches for sex ed books out there.
Yeah.
But no, we're not sponsored by, what was it, Willy?
Ori and the Willy of Wisps.
Ori and the Willy of Wisps. No, we're not. We're sponsored by something arguably even more attractive than the idea of that book. And that's the patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. If you donate there at any tier, and that was weirdly, any tier, and it really doesn't matter. You know, you can donate a dollar, you can donate five, 10, 25, 50, 100, whatever you want to support. There are various rewards for different tiers, but at the bare minimum, you will get access to the podcast post that goes up on a Tuesday, and I get questions from it on a Wednesday evening, and you'll be able to ask questions for the show. So thank you, patrons, for bringing us the podcast this week.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
Just like...
Maria, you gotta see her.
That her full name?
Yeah. Okay. Maria, you got to see her, says, "Hi, guys. Hope you guys are safe and healthy. Thanks for the great streams during this strange time. I'm in isolation since the 15th of March. Oh, my goodness me, that's a long time.
Wow.
And your streams are helping me to stay sane. Loved the Worst Games Ever last Sunday. How did you manage to make this one? Do you each have a couple of worst games at home? Love, Maria from the Netherlands." Well, stay safe and sane, Maria.
Yeah,
all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Maria. I picked this one, Peter, because I thought it'd be a nice way to kick off the show and pull back the curtain a little bit. So feel free to expose yourself.
Oh, goodness me, like Ori.
Just
okay.
Like Ori.
Well, yeah, a few people asked us this, actually, because, of course, Ben and I are, as you know, living apart. Don't worry. We're not splitting up because of you. It's because of us.
Because we hate each other.
Yeah. Because we're obviously in lockdown in the UK. We're working from home. Now, we were a bit concerned that we might not be able to do Worst Games Ever. We had a couple sort of pre-recorded ones that were backed up and ready to go out, but the one that just went out time of release a week ago was the first one where we were like, oh well, that's it, we've run out, what are we gonna do? What we realized was Discord, good old Discord, has a screen share functionality, and as we always emulate our games anyway, despite the fact that people send us hard copies of them in the post, we figured, well, whoever the victim of the episode of Worst Games Ever is, they can pull up an emulator on their home computer, play the game on that, and just screen share so that the game's master can see exactly what they're doing in real time. And then the rest of it is as simple as the way that we record this podcast, for example. We both individually record our own microphone, because then you're getting the best quality. We're not recording the call, the Skype call or whatever, because that's pretty tinny. And then we stick the two individual recorded stems together in post, and
the rest, they say, is rubbish.
Yes, that is what they say. Yeah. It also presented a really fun sort of set of hurdles to overcome.
Of course.
Of which was actually recording the game itself without also recording my audio baked in. So because Peter was the victim, he was playing the game and he had to record the footage on his end locally. However, the software that we use to record our footage isn't comprehensive enough to be able to separate the game audio from the Skype audio, from the Skype call that we were doing. So obviously we want for the best possible quality for the edit, we want there to be separate audio channels so Peter can adjust the game audio in the edit and keep my audio separate. So what we had to do actually was have a phone call on our actual phones, so there was no audio going through the computer at all, so Peter could just capture the audio from the game. We had an earbud going under our headphones that we were using to hear the game, and then through the earbud we were having an actual old school telephone call while still recording, while still talking into our microphones and recording that locally. It was a bit of a faffy workaround, but it did work in the end.
It did work surprisingly well. We had to use the earbuds underneath headphones, because if we'd had the phone call on speakerphone, then the audio from that phone call would bleed through into our microphone, so you would be able to hear Ben in the background of my microphone audio, just on an actual, as you say, an old school phone call. It was like on our mobile service providers, as opposed to any of the various kinds of voice call available on, you know, WhatsApp and Skype and Discord. We did an actual phone call.
We did.
Rotary phones. It was like Rules Boss.
It was crazy. I've got the Rules Boss phone over here. I mean, no, I don't. What? Sorry, what? It's in the Ecockland.
Yeah, what? How did you get that?
I don't know. The theft, mainly.
Do you think they're a vital service? Are they an essential service, Ecock?
I don't know. It depends. We should really, you know, depending on how long this goes on, we should really give him a call and find out, shouldn't we?
We should, yeah. He's wiping down the handset. They can be terrible harbourers of disease.
It's very true. That's why it's far more hygienic to use an earbud.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. That's not backed up by any science that I'm aware of. But there we go. Little insight there about how we put that episode together. And that's how we're going to continue to put episodes together until we're allowed to go back to the office. And even, you know, given the state of certain parts of the world, America, that are looking at reopening themselves way too early, even when we are allowed to go back to work, you know, as we've discussed before, COVID, the C virus, it's still around. You know, it's not gone until there's a vaccine. So it may well be that actually we continue to work from home for a little while, just until things are actually safe.
Yeah, yeah, so, I wouldn't be surprised.
You may be getting many more Worst Games episodes like that.
Absolutely, because it's working for the most part. It's all working pretty well. You know, it could be a lot worse. You're still getting your worst games. I mean, maybe the only major thing is the stream quality is down slightly, but the frequency is up. And I think people overall are much happier with the fact that we're just streaming more while people are shut up with not much to do. And you know, even if the quality is slightly less good, you know, I think it's going well.
I think you mean fewer.
I do. Fewer good.
Fewer good. Yeah. There we are. Let's move on to a section, Peter, brand new, never touched, still in the cellophane. It's called Woo Whoop.
Oh, okay.
Peter, what we playing?
Well, we together have been playing Minecraft on our Thursday joint Blaze It streams. That's really good. I'm really enjoying that. We've just started a new map because we had a whole load of weird tech issues with that we've sorted out now, but it ended up with us restarting our world. But solo-wise, I've been streaming a couple of games. Continuing with Jedi Academy. I played that yesterday at time of recording. Fought one of the Vicious Norm Corps.
No.
Absolutely. God, the facial animations in that game are quite something. They're an experience. Especially in the mission briefings or the... What's the opposite of a briefing? The post.
Debrief.
The debriefing.
There's a whole chapter about that in Ori's book, isn't there?
Yeah, probably is. Yeah,
debriefing.
You have to debrief before you get going. Otherwise, well, it's a logistical nightmare.
Can't see the Wilsons, can you?
No. But whenever they're done talking, there's a little head in the bottom corner of the screen when you're doing the briefing or the debrief while you're looking at all the stats.
Hello.
Hello, yeah, that's him. And whenever whoever it is done talking, their face suddenly snaps to like an actual resting bitch face.
Oh my God.
Whenever it's animated, they've got like these smiley faces, but then it suddenly just goes boop and they're really angry.
That's upsetting.
It's like Oblivion, you know, where they'd be like, oh, have you been to the Winking Skeever? But if you've been persuading them and got like a score of 0 out of 100, suddenly they go right in your face.
I'm mad about the Winking Skeever.
Yeah, exactly. I think the Winking Skeever might be from Skyrim, actually. Just get that right.
Actually.
But as well as that, I've been continuing to play Resident Evil 3.
Nice.
Oh boy, that Nemesis he's a dude, isn't he? He's a monster. Yeah. God, I'm finding him a lot more troublesome than Mr. X, and I've only encountered him like 3 times. but I do feel like it's very difficult to get away from him to almost an unsatisfying degree. I feel like, you know, it's not like testing my skills at like evading a guy. It's just saying, right, Nemesis is here now. You are going to lose like at least 3 hits of health. That's just going to happen. Yeah. We've decided. So I'm finding that slightly, you know, well, I don't know what the word is. It's not bad, but it's, yeah, it takes something away, I think, from the gameplay experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, still really enjoying it. I love that whatever the engine's called, just the Resident Evil engine, what's it called? The Evil Engine?
It might just be RE Engine or something.
RE Engine, yeah. It's so nice. It's so clean. The UI is lovely. And the graphical fidelity is great. The problem we had when I did my stream on Monday, my second installment of Resi, was that was actual 420 day.
Yeah, it was.
And we sort of joked about it, but I think it might genuinely be the case that there were some weird issues I was having where OBS, our streaming software, was struggling to actually stay connected to Twitch, which I've never had before. You know, I've had actual internet speed issues and things like that, but I've never had it where the software is like, I can't contact Twitch specifically, because my internet speed elsewhere, like in my browser, was fine. And the stream just kept dropping, and it was like saying, oh, OBS is disconnected from your stream provider. And the weird thing was that the issues spiked between sort of 4:05 and 4:30, and then they were fine, and then there was another spike at exactly 5:20. So as much as we were joking about it, I do actually wonder whether there was suddenly a lot of internet traffic at both 4:20 and then an hour later when whoever else was celebrating it. Like, I guess a lot of African nations are at -1 hour time zone. So that was a really weird thing where we just had strange issues with my Resident Evil stream because it was 4:20.
Because it was 4:20.
Can't confirm that that's actually what caused it, but I didn't have any problems yesterday. So fantastic. I think so. So that's what I've been playing. I've been playing 4:20 games that had traffic issues.
Nice. That's what you want.
It is. What about you?
I played a little bit of Project Resistance, the free multiplayer mode that downloads separately. And oh boy, it's not good.
Oh no.
It's really bad. Turns out it was made by a different company.
Right.
And there's a pretty clear reason why it's not just in the menu in Resident Evil 3. On Metacritic, it's on about 60 currently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so bizarre. So a team of you play as survivors, trying to make your way through this map. And one of you plays as a mastermind who can spawn in zombies, set traps, and take direct control of certain units to try and hinder and prevent the survivors from making it through. So it's an interesting concept. However, it is hugely overcomplicated in that by playing it, you get a pretty good understanding of what's going on, but it throws about 20 tutorials at you immediately. And there's so much HUD. The main menu is an absolute disaster because there's just so much on it. It's so cluttered. And when I played it, it just wasn't any good. It reminded me, I was playing it with a friend, and it reminded us of that sort of no man's land wilderness time in PS3 online multiplayer, sort of in the wake of Call of Duty 4 coming out, when every game had to have multiplayer, and it was usually bad shooters that had multiplayer. Yeah. And the multiplayer functionality was really weird. Like, no one had really sort of established a set way to party up and play with friends and enter lobbies, and it all felt very archaic. And that's what this felt like. It was so weird. It was so unclear about how you were able to party up that I had to Google it, and there were several articles that popped up telling you how to join parties. Now, that's just a damning indictment, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's definitely some fun to be had there, but I didn't even finish the first game I played. I was so unimpressed by it, and I just have absolutely no... What's the term I'm looking for?
Motivation.
Thank you. No motivation to ever go back to it, so I just got rid of it.
God, I wonder if... this is pure speculation. I've not seen anything to even give me a hint that this is true, but I wonder if like that was originally meant to just be an actual bundled in-game launchable from front menu Resident Evil 3 multiplayer mode. And then when they realized that, oh God, this is really crap, they just said, right, we'll just split this off then and release it separately.
I would not be surprised if that was the case. They did do the, you know, they did do the sneaky where they were just promoting this game and then suddenly went, oh, surprise, it's actually the multiplayer component of Resident Evil 3. So they're definitely... Yeah. You know, they're definitely linked at the very least. They released at the same time. Survival is bundled with, Project Resistance is bundled with Resi 3, but it's a separate thing. And that's it's very unusual, but the quality of the game is extremely low. So that might be why. It has redeeming features. It's a cool idea. And I'm sure some people who played it are listening and probably enjoyed it or thought it was fine. But I was just, you know, my time is finite, and I was so unimpressed by how much of it wasted just trying to get into it, and I couldn't be bothered. So played that. Now, let's talk about Final Fantasy VII Remake, which I've finished.
Yes.
I love it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I love it.
I thought there were some real dips in it for you.
Yeah, that's the thing. There are real dips. I have some real issues with several of the design choices in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But as it went on, it sort of grew on me and grew on me and grew on me until I reached the point where I just thought, actually, you know what? I don't really want this to end. And I'm kind of sad that I know it's going to end before the end of the original game. I really like it.
Oh, that's great.
I still stand by my criticisms. I think the opening is so strong with the initial reactor mission, the bombing mission.
Hmm.
And then it just takes a huge... uncharted territory nosedive into side quests and weird B characters, and that was scary to me, you know, as a big Final Fantasy VII fan. But what they've done ultimately in fleshing out the world and the characters, the important ones, that is, and of the universe of Final Fantasy VII is really impressive. I have absolutely no idea how they're going to tackle the open world segments, because I don't know how that could possibly translate into this style of game that they've made.
Right.
So they're going to certainly irritate a lot of people no matter what they do next. However, much like, I know we got a couple of questions about it as well, much like many people who finished the story now or finished the game, the theories are running wild, Peter. They're going crazy because there's all sorts of questions that get thrown up in the air as you go. And the theories that are going around online are really interesting and really sort of paved the way for a fascinating take on the rest of the game. Because, as I said last time, the destination is the same ultimately, but the journey is different. So there are different things that happen and different things that pop up and different characters that do different things, or the original characters that do different things that aren't the same as the original, as you would expect, you know, because they've taken artistic license with it. But the reason for them doing that may have a deeper meaning, which is beyond what any of us expected. And I hope that's the case, but we will see. It's difficult to dance around it without actively addressing it. But needless to say, I'm glad I stuck with it. Not that I would have stopped playing, but once I overcame what I think is actually quite a very weak second chapter, I've really enjoyed it, and I'm so sad that it's over that I might just go and play Final Fantasy VII again, the original one. And also, hard mode is the worst thing that's ever been done by anyone. So may not go for the platinum, but I will certainly try and get all the collectibles and stuff. But that's where I am now on Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's got problems.
That's great.
It's not perfect, but I really like it. I think it's a very good game.
That's the sign of a good remake, though, is that when, you know, they put things in there that, you know, even old fans of a series are still surprised in some way, shape or form, or left with questions, or, you know, there's intriguing new little tidbits. I'm sure by the sounds of it, this is not a good comparison on in terms of magnitude, but I really enjoyed in the Spyro 1 remake where they gave like functionality and like purpose to a lot of the levels. They used to just be sort of blank, nondescript landscapes, but then they were saying, oh, well, now this is like the library where all the dragons go and read their books, and this is where they generate wind power and stuff. And, you know, it kind of gave depth to the world. So yeah, that's really good. They've done that in Final Fantasy.
Absolutely, gives them a chance to flesh things out, and they've certainly gone above and beyond. As I said, don't agree with everything they've done. I think some characters are dreadful, like proper, as I said last time, anime, like one note anime stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them just don't appear again. It's like, well, why did you even do that?
Right. Yeah.
Why was that person even there? You could have just done without them. I don't care about them. Mm-hmm. But on the whole, it's really admirable what they've done. And that music is just, god damn, so good.
Yeah.
So good. But there we go. That's where we are currently.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Maybe we should move on to a question from Aaron May.
Will he?
Aaron May.
Yeah. Aaron May.
Would you like to read it?
I shall. When discussing Star Wars : Jedi : Fallen Order too many colons last week, Peter said, whenever... Do you want to do your own voice?
Whenever I think about going back to it, my body goes, oh, no.
How much does... That was perfect. How much does replayability factor into your assessment of favourite or best games? Do you have favourite games you aren't interested in revisiting? As I've gotten older and my disposable income outpaces my leisure time, I almost never go back to games after finishing the story unless there's a remaster collection like Halo MCC, Borderlands Handsome Collection, or Bioshock Collection, etc.
This is an interesting distinction, actually. Like, you raise a good point, Aaron May. Aaron May raise a good point, which is that I did say that about Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, as though the fact that I don't want to go back to it means that it's not such a good game in hindsight. Thinking about it, there are lots of games that I wouldn't necessarily go back to that I do really enjoy. You know, I mean, I've only played The Last of Us once, and I don't even know if I'm in a hurry to replay it again. I think it was a really great experience, a really nice, you know, a treat from start to finish, but I'm not in a hurry to ever go back to it. However, I think the distinction is if someone said, you have to go and play X game again, whether or not I would be happy or not. So if someone said to me, you have to go and play The Last of Us, I'd be like, all right, fine. Whereas if someone said, you have to go and play Jedi Fallen Order, I would say, no. My body would say, no. So that's the distinction there. But you're right to raise it. You know, not necessarily all the good games I've ever played or all my favourite games are ones that I would go back to or have ever done. It's just a question of whether I would mind if I was forced to go back to them. But yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah. I have a somewhat unique perspective in that trophies can really make or break a game for me.
Yeah.
So if I love a game, I usually want to get the platinum trophy in it and get all the other trophies and do everything and so on. But the platinum has to be, for want of a better term, a good platinum, in that it can't be punishing. And I've played games that have made me hate them and resent them because of what they've put me through for the platinum. Usually just ridiculously hard challenges or finishing the game on some obscene difficulty level. And I hope that Final Fantasy VII Remake doesn't do that to me, but we'll see. We'll see. Because it can just sour the whole experience for me. But then games with good platinums, you know, Spider-Man is one that I constantly think about revisiting, and I hope to do so at some point when my backlog of games to play clears up a little bit. Dark Souls has a really tough platinum, but I'd still happily play through it again. You know, there are games where I think the trophies or achievements really complement them, and they provide enough of a challenge and more of a time investment than a challenge. And I think that is that can be a real difference maker in, for me, in terms of whether or not I would ever want to revisit those games. But usually I just need a big cooling off period before I can go back to games that I've really enjoyed. I'd happily play God of War again, but I don't think I'm ready to play it just yet.
Mm-hmm.
I just played The Last of Us Remastered again, as you right. said. I would have happily not played that again, but I wanted to play it with the sequel coming out at some yeah. point, who knows when. But I hadn't played it since I originally played it on PS3. I played it a little bit on PS4 with the remaster, but that was it. But an outlier for me would be Skyrim.
Yeah.
As I've discussed before, which I played solidly for a month. And then every time since then that I've thought, man, I could really go for some Skyrim. Wow, the mods look awesome. I could, you know, maybe I should play it again. I'll start a character and I'll play it for 20 minutes. And then I'll just get this overwhelming sort of mentally draining sense of fatigue. And I just can't be bothered. I don't know what it is about that game that has done that to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't play Skyrim ever again.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You know, for my sake, alone, Bethesda need to hurry up and release the next Elder Scrolls game. I think that's what they need to do.
They really do. I can't wait for that. But all we've had is like that one little teaser, and it's just going to be... It's going to be years still, isn't yeah. it? On top of the years we've already waited. Because unfortunately, the Elder Scrolls Online just does quite well. And that's they're probably quite happy to just focus on that for as long as they can.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
New Game Pluses is worth mentioning as well. A game with a decent New Game Plus is always welcome. Borderlands is a very good New Game Plus. Spider-Man has New Game Plus. God of War got patched to have New Game Plus. So maybe that's how I'd revisit it. There are certain games, certainly narrative ones, with RPG mechanics, leveling up and collecting things and so on, where I just wouldn't want to start from scratch. Final Fantasy VII Remake, thankfully, their hard mode is basically New Game Plus, where everything carries over.
Right.
So that's handy, that you can just start fully leveled. But even so, it's punishingly hard, and it may ruin the whole game for me. So,
yeah,
there's all sorts of factors. There's all sorts of factors, but... I think probably in the case of Star Wars :Jedi: Fallen Order, not to put any words in your mouth and feel free to disagree, but it's mainly because that game just ultimately wasn't that amazing.
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, it's not, even if that game did have a New Game Plus, in fact, it might, I think it does, question mark. I think maybe, no, it probably doesn't because you unlock force powers that would allow you to get through, you know, like narrative barriers and stuff, which so it probably, or it might, maybe certain things you can carry, I don't know, but anyway, the point is that even if that game did have a New Game Plus as we know it, that wouldn't be enough for me. It was the fact that it was so sprawling in a horrible way. You know, the combat was weird, and I don't know. Yeah, I enjoyed it at the time, as I said last week. I enjoyed it at the time because partly because of the Star Wars fan aspect to my personality. I liked the references and the callbacks and things like that. But, you know, all in all, not actually a very good game. There's much better Star Wars games out there, let's say that much, for sure. Mm. Yeah. So.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, it's time to move on to something a little peculiar.
It is.
A little strange. Oh, I've got to get paper.
Oh, me too. I got it.
You got it? Okay. It's time, everybody, for Weird News!
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's weird news time. It's time to look at some strange news from across the world of video games. Peter.
Yes.
Have you got some weird news for me?
Not only do I have a weird news for you, I've got a weird news that was submitted to me by a viewer slash listener. Of the podcast. Ian Rogers at Id Rogers tweeted this to me and Team Triple Jump on Twitter. Are you ready for the latest episode of an ongoing saga?
Yeah.
The Fallout 7 train wreck. 76, sorry.
The Fallout 7 train wreck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Fallout's 7th train wreck in Fallout 76. Fallout 76 NPCs are looting player corpses, stealing their weapons, and refusing to give them back.
What?
Yeah. This is news by Wesley Yin Poole, who is the deputy editor at Eurogamer.net.
I know that name. I recognize Eurogamer. That name.
Or Wesley. Which do you know?
Whoops, sorry, what?
Eurogamer or
Wesley? No, I both. I know both.
You know both? You know Wesley Yin Poole?
No, I don't know him personally, but I know the name. I recognize
you know the name Wesley.
I've seen a lot of Wesley articles, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. In the dog-eat-dog world of Fallout, murder and the looting of corpses is the name of the game, but NPCs are supposed to follow different rules. For some Fallout 76 players, friendly NPCs are taking a leaf out of the player's book and looting their corpses, and even stealing their most prized possessions. Redditor Lizardinosaurus reported Brilliant. That while playing one of the game's new PvE events, a friendly NPC stole their Gatling gun and nearly 2,000 units of 5mm ammo. In Fallout 76, when you die, you respawn close to the location you died. Where you died is a small paper bag that includes your junk only. You're not supposed to lose any weapons or armor. However, when Lizardinosaurus respawned, they found they were missing their Gatling gun. Puzzled, they returned to the scene of the crime to find an NPC wielding the Gatling gun. Somehow, the NPC had looted Lizardinosaurus' corpse in the tiny window after death and before they respawned, and the paper bag entered the game world. Just to be safe, don't use your best or rarest weapons in events like riding shotgun, just in case one of the NPCs decides to steal it, Lizardinosaurus wrote. An isolated ultra-rare bug, perhaps? Well, it turns out that others have suffered a similar fate from the hands of Fallout 76's new and sneaky NPCs. The video below shows a player die during another PvE event, respawn without their high-powered gun, and you can see them search for the weapon in their inventory and weapon wheel, and then find NPC Marion Copeland wielding it during the fight. And then there's a little embedded video. And finally it says, as there's no way to kill these NPCs, and they can be because they can be downed only, there is no way to loot their corpse and steal back the stolen weapon. How annoying. Clearly, this is an unintentional bug, and a Bethesda rep took to Lizardinosaurus' Reddit thread to say the developers will investigate immediately, but until then, maybe don't take your prized weapons out on a Fallout 76 NPC event. You never know when they may loot your corpse.
Fantastic. Well, that's just typical Fallout 76 fair there. But it raises some interesting questions, like is it learning? is the NPC learning? Will that NPC have that gun forever now until it's removed by, you know, the developers potentially? Will that, I mean, because I don't know how long the servers stay up for, you know, because yeah, they're instanced worlds for you know, a select number of players, 20 up to 20 players or so.
Mm-hmm.
So will everyone see that NPC with that gun? Will that NPC then, when the server is presumably backed up or like shuffled around or whatever, will it lose it next time the server's rebooted or crashes because someone's duplicating their armor? Or will that NPC in every world then be updated to have that gun because the stats are better? How does this happen?
And will they... I guess they use it as well. Like, if you then go back and try and do the event and, you know, you get into combat with the NPC, they're suddenly going at you with a Gatling gun when ordinarily maybe they just had like a hunting rifle or whatever. So yeah, it's pretty game breaking. And also it's ridiculous, isn't it? You know, we've joked before in the past about how Fallout 76 came out and then later they added NPCs and it was sold as though it was this big revelation that, oh wow, now there's NPCs in our Fallout game, you know, when that's what all Fallout games should have, in my opinion. But now they've added this staple of the Fallout series, finally, and immediately they've screwed it up. And now these NPCs are going around looting corpses and taking prized possessions off people. They just can't get anything right, can they?
No, I feel so sorry for just the developers and the PR team who are forced to continually keep this poor monstrosity alive.
Yeah.
Through every pitfall.
Really up against it, aren't they? Constantly,
just
they
keeps get over, going wrong.
Yeah, they get over one thing and the next thing, and the moldy helmet, and you know whatever it is.
Yeah,
and then it there's just always something else to rear its ugly head.
God, absolutely dreadful, but absolutely expected as well.
For sure.
Good lord.
Well, that's my weird news.
Thank you for your weird news. Would you like some weird news?
This just in, Ben also has some weird news.
This is from Kotaku and Luke Plunkett.
Ah.
The weird news writer over at Kotaku, Luke Plunkett.
Yeah, we know that one too.
He has written the following headline. Selena Gomez suing Game for stealing her likeness.
Oh my God, okay.
Would you like to see a side-by-side comparison?
I would love to.
I'm going to send it in Slack for you.
Okay.
There you go. See if you can see the comparison there.
Oh my God.
Between the two images. Let me continue reading and then I'll get your thoughts on it.
Oh my God.
Selena Gomez has filed a $10 million lawsuit against the companies responsible for Clothes Forever - Styling Game, a phone game that will, by its own account, allow you to live out all your fantasies and become the fashionista you were born to be. In reality, it's a cheap dress-up game that, like most mobile titles, looks to gouge the player through the sale of diamonds, an in-game currency that costs any or up to £100 a pop.
Wow.
As Variety reports, Gomez is suing both Guangzhou Feidong Software Technology Co. and British company Mutant Box Interactive Limited over the game, claiming that it uses her likeness, specifically an image used for the cover of Flare magazine, without permission. What do you think of the image there?
Claiming that it uses her likeness, I think that's the wrong verb. I mean, you know, rightly stating that it uses her likeness. That is the same image in every respect. She's got the ring on her finger. She's got the weird bracelet thing, the buckles. Even the light reflections on the buckles are identical to the side-by-side image. They have just copied that photo.
Yeah. It's just a weird digitized art version of that photo. The outfit, the tattoos, it's all there.
Yeah.
Madness. Not tattoos, sorry. Just the weird patterns on the outfit. Even the QR code is there.
Yeah,
it's
the
so
QR code.
Strange.
There.
Yeah. The article continues. Her suit even throws some naughty S word on the game, saying, nor, if asked, would Gomez have consented to such use for the game, which apparently relies on the unsavory practice of luring its users to make in-game purchases in amounts as much as $99.99 to fund imaginary spending in the game and unlock features.
You heard it here first. Selena Gomez does not like microtransactions.
Selena Gomez, ally of the gamers.
Yeah.
It should be noted that Gomez is but one of the celebrities whose likenesses has been lifted for the game, with others including Taylor Swift and Kim Kardashian, whoever that is. Never heard of her, won't give her any airtime. It's just blatant. It's so shameless and blatant that what they've done there. But there we go. Selena Gomez.
Not only are they using someone's likeness, but they're also just using someone else's photo. Yeah. I mean, the photo itself has... You know, there's copyright holding on that photo. Mm-hmm. You can't just use someone's image like that.
No, you can't. Madness. Yeah. Absolute madness. Well, there we are. That's weird news. Got another question then?
Yes, we've got a question right here from Trevor Price.
That's Trevor Price. Dun, dun. Perfect. Hi, Gavin and Stacey, it says.
Hello.
With the recent influx of PC to console crossplay, cheaters are becoming a more common concern for console players who wish to avoid PC players. Many people believe PC and console crossplay to be a good thing, however. What is the solution? Cheers, sandwiches, it says.
Thanks, Trevor.
Thanks, Trevor.
Clear as always.
Yeah.
So, I think the best resolution is to just give an option to turn it off, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Because in my recent experience with... I mean, to very quickly recount what's been happening recently, especially with the cheating, there was Rocket League. Remember when I tried to stream Rocket League last year?
It
matched me up with Steam players who were just driving forwards because they were basically bots just trying to earn rewards to sell on Steam. And then most recently there was that Star Wars game where hackers managed to get onto the console version of the game and then go there and start murdering players.
Yeah.
So just in that case, obviously it was a hack, but I think just an option to disable it. I've been playing Call of Duty Warzone, as I've said, in the last few weeks. And that's the first time I've ever used crossplay ever. Because mm-hmm. one of my old school friends has an Xbox. And it's been really nice because we've all been jumping in and playing together and we've been able to play with him, even though he's on an Xbox and we're on PS4. And that's been lovely. But there is an option to disable crossplay. But when I did, there were like no games there.
Oh, God. Okay.
Because presumably everyone's got it on by default and nobody like me is thinking, well, surely the connection is going to be better if I'm just connecting to other PS4 players. So I'd rather turn it off and just play with PS4 players. But however it is that Activision have set up the servers, it seems that the PS4 isolating yourself from the cross-platform servers means that you're going into a separate server and no one's there because the default is to have it on. So yeah, I just think just the option to toggle it, you know, toggle Xbox, toggle PC, toggle off, something like that would probably be the best way to solve that, surely.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people, I think it kind of works one way and not the other, but a lot of people feel that if they're up against a player on a different platform, that player might have an advantage over them. Usually it's console players feeling like if you're playing on PC, particularly with something like a first-person shooter, I think actually aiming with a mouse, I think you might disagree with this, Ben, but aiming with a mouse generally is considered to be more accurate.
You won't get any argument from me.
Turn quicker and stop on a dime quicker, you know, to quickly just aim over there and then over there and then over there. Whereas when you're using a thumbstick, you know, you're limited in terms of the speed of the turn. I know you can normally mess around with those things in options, but also it's, yeah, I think you just have more freedom to move along different dimensions when you've got a mouse than just a thumbstick to use. So PC players, I would say, probably have a bit of an advantage in certainly first-person shooters. Mm-hmm. So console players might also feel like they don't want to be up against, you know, perhaps a superior aiming technology. I know a lot of PC players probably actually use controllers, but lots of other people will be using mouse and keyboard. So, yeah, I think it's just, like you say, there should just be options. And, you know, a lot of players won't really be bothered. They're like, oh, I just want to play a game. They don't really care if, like, people are using PC or not. Mm-hmm. Let's just play. But others, for sure, will be out there to win and feel like, oh, if I'm on PS4, I'm not going to win.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
It's time to move on to a discussion even bigger than the... Well, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not that big, but it's kind of nice.
It could be big.
It could be big. Should we find out?
Yeah.
It's time for a big discussion.
Oh, bigly.
It's big discussion time. It's the discussion time where it's big. And here comes Daniel Neal.
Neal.
Da-na-na-na-na-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Ben and Peter. That's what it says.
Yeah.
Long-time subscriber and recent donor here. Firstly, Thank you for all your hard work in adapting to the current climate, though it may not seem like it. Having a friendly stream in these times is a real comfort. Which leads me to my question. You two obviously play a lot of games for a variety of reasons. What are some of your picks specifically for reducing stress and relaxing? Not necessarily titles you love most, but have that rare calming... Have that rare calming factor, let's say. Personally, I love Stardew Valley or Civilization paired with a nice podcast to help the worries of the day temporarily drift away. Thanks again for the content.
Ah, lovely.
Thank you, Daniel. Peter, what helps you unwind if you were to play a game to relax? What would you do?
Well, I have put a little note here where, incidentally, two of my actual... I know it says in the question, not necessarily your favourite games, but two of my actual favourite games do help me unwind just because of the kind of, I guess, the nostalgia factor. You know, like being sent back to your childhood inherently is quite a calming thing. So I've written Spyro, comma, Beyond Good and Evil, comma, etc. But I'm not going to talk about them anymore because I talk about them all the time. So we're going to move on. But yeah, the nostalgia factor there, I think, is enough even on its own to calm me down a little bit. However, there are some even more relaxing games. I would say Minecraft in particular. I've found that so therapeutic when me and you have been doing a stream, having a little chat, hanging out with the audience, and just, you know, punching blocks and placing blocks and punching blocks and placing blocks. It's nice. It's you know, it's uncomplicated. It's a bit of a creative outlet. And Minecraft's a pretty atmospheric game as well at times, you know, with the sound design and the rotation of the sun and the moon through the sky and the day-night cycle. Especially if you're on peaceful mode, certainly. I think if you're not, it's pretty stressful. But I've definitely found Minecraft pretty calming. Also, I really like, particularly, Elder Scrolls Oblivion. I think, you know, Skyrim's a good game as well. But Oblivion, there's something about both the combination of the fact that it's a less harsh landscape than Skyrim.
Yeah, it's so colourful.
It is colourful and nice countryside. And then coupled with Jeremy Soule's soundtrack in that game, just wandering through the wilderness in Oblivion is a real treat. And again, I think there is a nostalgic aspect to it as well. I used to play at my grandparents' place, which is kind of out in the country. And there's a whole like web of interlinking things that when I play Oblivion, it reminds me of lots of other parts of, you know, my life and my childhood. So that really calmed me down. But finally, one other game that I've mentioned certainly twice in the last three podcasts, if not three times, and yet never really talked about before on the podcast, is Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. Brought that up a couple of times recently. I find that really relaxing because it's really just like listening to The Archers, as everyone likes to say as a comparison. It's got actual voice actors from The Archers radio soap on it. But wandering around and exploring that quaint little representation of a British village in... Is it set in like the 80s or the 90s, that game?
I think it might be the 70s or 80s, early 80s.
Right, yeah. It's been a while since I played it, but yeah, you know, just going through this sort of semi-old-fashioned country British village and listening to some talented voice actors just chat about what's been going on in the village.
Yeah,
I don't know, there's something about that that really, you know, it's not a stressful game, is it,
Rapture? No, I do love the bit, you know, with the derailed train and the bloody shoe. That's my favourite relaxing part of
Rapture. That's great, yeah.
All the dead birds, yeah.
People's heads exploded.
Where the lady disappeared.
Yeah.
No, you're right, though, that game is, there's something really special about that game. And it makes me very sad that, I think it's the Chinese Room who developed that game. They had real problems working with PlayStation. They do not have any nice things to say, which makes me very sad because, you know, out of that struggle, they created something really magical. You know, it sucks that they had a rough time, a rough working relationship with PlayStation bringing that game out.
Yeah. What about you? What if you had a rough working relationship with PlayStation, what would calm you down at the end of the day? Arguing with Sony reps.
Yeah. I'm in total agreement with Minecraft. as you said, when you've not got it on peaceful. Let's just cut through the BS here. Our first few streams, they were pretty stressful. Not just from a streaming perspective, because the server kept going down, it kept crashing my internet, and I was hosting the stream as well, so it was all going very wrong. And then we're on this stupid little island with nothing on it. We're getting killed all the time. But the last stream we did last week was so lovely and relaxing, and we could just focus on stuff and still playing in, you know, survival mode, but just on peaceful, so we can actually get on with things and just build things and mine things. It's really nice. And we're playing it again this afternoon at the time of recording. I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too.
Because it's really good fun. You know, when you've got the right setup, Minecraft can be super relaxing. But I agree with Daniel. Stardew Valley really helped me through a very rough time last year. I bought it for the Switch and I play it in bed when I couldn't sleep. And it's really helpful. You know, the music, the sort of the virtual manual labor of focusing on doing jobs, you know.
Yeah.
And it's the same reason people love Animal Crossing at the moment. But Stardew Valley was that for me when I needed it. And going through that rough time equally, Borderlands was very helpful. Because that's a game that, if you know what you're doing, it's not hard, you know. It's not a game that's going to really annoy you. It's just, again, it's got that good gameplay loop that keeps you coming back, where you get the loot, you kill the people, you do all the quests in the area, you get better loot, you kill all the people, you do the quests in the area, and you just keep going. And, you know, you can play with up to three other friends as well. So it's just, there's an online alternative for you. I know Stardew Valley actually has co-op now, so you can play that with friends. But certainly Borderlands is an online game that you can really focus on. You feel like you have a proper job to do and a proper role, especially if your friends are playing as different classes. Everybody has different, you know, different builds and different skills, and you have you can spend skill points on perks that actively benefit your teammates by increasing their health and stuff like that. And it just, it's nice to feel a part of something, you know, like you're actively helping other people, even if it's just in a game. There's a few games there for you, people out there, for games that can not necessarily take your mind off things, but certainly help you relax and just focus on something else, you know.
Unwind.
Precisely. Mm. And that, my friends, is the end of the podcast.
Certainly is.
Peter.
Yeah?
Where can people find us if they want to find us? They can find us on everywhere at Team Triple Jump.
Our content goes out on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. When we stream on Twitch, we're now partners, by the way.
Hey-o.
We are modded by Lord Brotovich and Cecil Prumps. Indeed, we're also modded by them when we stream on YouTube, but we're doing a whole lot of Twitch right now. We got social media. We got twitter.com and facebook.com/TeamTripleJump. You can contact us on there. Facebook is looked after by social media man Luke Eldon, as we like to call him. He's good. He's a good boy.
We do like to call him that.
We've got a Patreon, patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. All kinds of rewards on there. You can ask questions on this very podcast. You can access an exclusive Discord room. And the Discord you can get to at bit.ly/TeamTripleJump. That is modded by Jack, Joe, and Crimson Dragonfly. Also, one of the Patreon rewards is Worst Games Ever.
Early. 2 days early. Mm. Nice.
Yeah. We got a podcast that you're listening to right now. There's an audio version of it available at play.acast.com/s/TripleJump, but it's also on all the regular places, Spotify, etc., iTunes, I guess. We've got a website too, tripleja.mup. We've got a careers tab over there. There's also a redirect link to our new VODs channel, which you can get to at tripleja.mup/VODs. It's where all of our solo live stream VODs from Twitch will be uploaded. I'm sure Ben will tell you about it shortly.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Instagram, if you'd like to follow us there, at ThatPeterAustin, at BenPotter20, and on Twitter, at ThatPeterAustin, and at Confused_Dude. We do lists every Tuesday and Thursday, streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday over on twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. Thursday is the joint stream, Blaze It, where Peter and I stream together. Peter streams Monday, Wednesday. I stream Tuesday, Friday. It varies either 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. or 5 p.m. till 7 p.m. You just have to check social media. Just have a look on Twitter and find out. And you'll know properly then. Worst Games Ever. That's a fortnightly show. Friday for patrons of a certain tier, as Peter said. Sunday for everyone else. It was a Worst Games Ever week last week, and it will be one next week, but not this week. Not this week. The podcast is every Saturday. And shows, huh? What are those? We've actually now run out of them because the last one went out on Friday. That was Rules Boss. Where we allowed Parvati to sort of, I don't know, unwind in her own way. Perhaps it was therapeutic for her to be instructed to murder everyone who lives in Edgewater, the town where she grew up. So if you want to see how that went, go and watch that. It's live on the channel now. Please leave us a review on iTunes or your platform of choice. It helps something to do with algorithms. And finally, just a few things before we go. As Peter said, the VODs channel. That is, we now have a custom link. So if you go to youtube.com/TripleJumpVODs, you can get that. Did I say the right one? YouTube.com?
Yeah.
I did say that. In my brain, immediately went, did you say twitch.tv? No. I didn't. No, it's fine. Okay. Alternatively, bit.ly. No, we don't do bit.ly. Yeah, I think the bit.ly/TJVODs will take you to the Twitch stream, to the Twitch VODs tab. So if you want to watch the VODs there. But YouTube, you can also go to triplejer.mup/VODs. We have now reached the threshold to monetize the videos on there. Thank you very much to everyone for helping us get there. That means we're just waiting for monetization to go through and be approved. And then we will be making every single VOD since Christmas, since we stopped uploading them to YouTube, they will be live on this VODs channel. So there's going to be a huge backlog of stuff to watch. As soon as things have finished airing on Twitch going forwards, as soon as you know we're able to, going forwards, they will be going up on the VODs YouTube channel pretty much the next day, where possible. So hopefully those of you who aren't able to watch the VODs on Twitch will be able to watch them this way. And we couldn't have done that without you. So thank you for helping us get there.
Indeed.
Additionally, as Peter said, we are now partnered on Twitch, something we didn't think we were going to be able to do because it would stop us from streaming on YouTube, which obviously we're taking a sort of a back seat on at the moment. But actually, we had a closer look, and it turns out there's nothing to stop you from streaming on Twitch or YouTube, depending on what you feel like. So there we go. That does mean now that we have way more emotes than we had before. The VODs stay on Twitch for 14 days now instead of a week. And there are various other sort of elevated privileges that we have too. So again, thank you to everyone who's coming along and watching us live for helping us hit that goal, hit that milestone. We also get a nice tick next to our name.
Yeah.
Tick nice. Finally, jobs. There is an opening currently for a full-time Newcastle-based video editor. Peter's taking the lead on that. But there's also there's a couple of freelance vacancies for writers, for script writers. So if you go to triplejer.mup, so many links to remember, triplejer.mup, you'll see at the bottom there's a careers link. You can click that and it'll list both things, tell you how to apply. So go have a look, see what you think, and we'll hopefully hear from you very soon.
Yeah.
Oh, Peter, would you like to tell me this sponsor?
Yes, which leaves just enough time for me to tell you all about the brand new hip-hop hit brang boobity doobity doo doo boom.
No boobities.
Doobity doo boo boom. Top of the charts, coming at you real good. Sex Ed book, Ori and the Willy of Wisps. Do you have hairs in new places that you're unfamiliar with?
Yeah.
Good. Read the book.
Okay. Is that the advert?
That's it. Yeah, that's just read it.
Brilliant.
Tell you all about them.
Thanks for listening, everyone/watching. Oh, wow, look how far we made it across Mars on the video version.
Fantastic.
We did a really good job today. Hmm. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks.
And we'll see you guys next time. Take care. Stay safe. Love you all. Goodbye, everybody.
Toodles.
Bye.
Bye. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.